I hope I outlive you, cause I don't want you spending one day alone. No.
Hey guys, my name is Donald Jenkins, and this is my podcast called Nashville Hits Collecting Dust.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for joining. This is Nashville Hits Collecting Dust. And this is actually the first time where I've set up, and we're doing Facebook Live, by the way. I'm trying to learn all my social medias.
Nice.
I am sitting here with Josh Miller, good buddy of mine. And boy, are you in for a treat. Let's be honest. DJ McCarty is over there with a really cool microphone.
Can't see me, but I'm here.
Yeah, but hey. We can hear you, and that's all that matters.
That's all that matters, my man.
But we were setting up, and you were warming up. And this first time, Kevin, I was telling Kevin, I'm like, dude, you don't understand. Like, you're a writer.
Yeah.
And you're not trying to be an artist.
Nah, that's not my main focus right
okay,
now.
Okay, but your voice is phenomenal. Like, you totally could be, but you're one of the few that are like, you know, I just want to write, you know?
Yeah, that's my focus, man. I love writing every day.
All right, but even still, listen, you're going to want to wait and listen to the whole thing to the end, because unbelievable voice and talent. Thanks, man. I was excited to get you on because you were one of the original friends that kind of encouraged me to do this.
Yeah.
Do you remember we were at the listening room?
Well, yeah. I remember you talking about this idea.
Yeah. And Kale was there.
Yep.
Corey Crowder, you and I were in the back.
Yep. Yep.
And I was like, what do you think?
Yeah. You started talking about it and I was like, I don't know. But then you said hits collecting dust. And I was like, man, I do write a lot of good stuff that nobody ever gets to hear.
And it just makes sense.
It makes perfect sense.
Well, I'm excited. This has been a blast. And I always knew I wanted you on it for a couple of reasons. For one, you're just unbelievably talented.
That's right.
People need to hear you in general and definitely need to hear your songs. And they will through a lot of artists, I know. But you actually have a different story like when it comes to like pursuing music, right?
Yeah, man. It was kind of it was a little backwards compared to a lot of people or a lot of friends I know here. It seems like a lot of people know immediately, hey, I'm music, you know, I'm not even going to school or I'm going to go to school, but I'm going to focus on music.
Yeah.
And, for me, I didn't really discover, I always knew I loved music, but I didn't really get into writing or messing with that until I quit my first love, which was baseball.
Oh gosh,
and so,
me too.
Yeah, man. Growing up probably from 8 years old all the way through, up into college is what I was. That was life, you know. Every day, if it wasn't guitar, piano lessons, it was batting lessons.
Yeah.
You know,
position?
Shortstop mainly. Shortstop and pitch.
Yeah.
And so I ended up. I went to Union University, and my freshman year, I ended up just calling it quits. I realized, hey, I'm not going pro.
Yeah.
And once I did that, I ended up the next year. I pledged a fraternity, and that's where I started kind of. I had some fraternity brothers that could play guitar and piano, and we started just doing covers and kicking it, and they found out I could sing, you know, and made me
You were that
singing.
Guy I hated in college. DJ McCarty was too, because you could not get the attention from girls away from y'all.
Oh, man.
Y'all were over there playing your guitar, your gorgeous voice, and it didn't matter. Nobody else in the room mattered anymore. That was you.
I don't know, man.
Kevin?
Listen. All right, I think you're putting yourself down a little too much.
Maybe I'm just giving y'all credit. That's what I do.
We appreciate it, but now we just feel weird.
Okay. That's all right. It's cool to be positive, guys. That's actually my thing. You don't always have to be negative. But, you know, you moved to Nashville after college, and even then, you know, we met through mutual friends.
Yeah, man.
Our girl, Shiva.
Yeah, Shiva. Shout out, Shiva. Tattlebox in Green Hills.
Go ahead. Shameless plug right there, because she is awesome. She's one of my best friends. That's how I met you. Yep. And honestly, the first time I heard you sing was she would...
her post.
She would record you singing and then post it on social media, and I'm like, oh gosh,
funny,
you know. And but you weren't
at that
music.
Time when I first so what happened when I got to college, we'd start throwing up like YouTube covers and just screwing around, kind of get some attention, that kind of stuff. And then you know, I had a buddy that he could, his name was Max, and he could make like Fruity Loops beats and stuff, and he would always email me. I would just open up my email and I'd have like new beats, you know.
Nice.
And I discovered GarageBand and MacBooks, and so I would start like making up songs and singing into my microphone on my computer, and they sounded really bad, you know.
But
we'd make them for like parties or whatever, just so our friends could listen to them. And then so I took a job here after school, and it was a sales gig. My degree was business management.
Yep.
And so for the last 4 or 5 years, you know, I was really just full-time sales.
Yeah, doing business, and like you still love music. It was probably more of a hobby, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I knew you. I always knew you were talented.
Yeah.
But nobody ever really even told me, like, oh, yeah, he's going to pursue music.
Yeah.
Actually, even mutual friends would just be like, but he's amazing.
Yeah, I kind of, you know, my style, I had to, you know, being from Jackson, Tennessee, you don't know anything about music business.
Right.
You know, I didn't know what a publisher was. I didn't know what a label did. I didn't know what all went into.
Yeah.
I didn't even know about songwriting. I just thought it was an artist, you know, and it was the artist. And so I moved here and I learned about management, booking, all these different pieces to the puzzle. And fortunately was able to connect with some really good friends and people in the industry in different spots that have been very helpful in kind of guiding me and helping me hone my craft. Because what I would do is, you know, I think I've talked to Kevin about it before, but, you know, I was in sales and it wasn't bad. It's not a bad life.
Right.
But for me personally, the way I'm wired and what I feel like my gift is or what I was created to do, it wasn't, you know, I wasn't getting off at 5 o'clock and reading Zig Ziglar.
Right.
And like really pouring into being the best salesman in the world. You know what I mean?
Right.
For me, my escape was 5 o'clock. I'm going to go sit in traffic for an hour and I'm going to make my way to a studio, meet up with some buddies that are doing the music thing. And I'm going to be into the studio until midnight trying to make up something cool.
Yeah.
You know, and so through that, obviously there's a lot of bad songs you write to get to some good ones, but it was part of that like refinery process for me to kind of discover what this is.
Yeah.
You know,
which is a great point that if you're out there listening, I mean, just because it doesn't mean you can't be good at something like sales or business, but it's still what your passion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so even if you are good and it's not your passion, I think that's where a lot of us wake up someday and we're like, well, I do well, but something's missing.
Yeah, man.
Right. I mean,
you know, now I get to wake up every day and go write, and I'm excited.
It's crazy.
I get to wake up, and I'm happy to go get in the car.
You know? I remember running into you at Edgehill Cafe, coffee shop.
Oh, yeah.
I think it may not have been the exact day, but it was almost like the week of that you had gotten to a point where you're like, I made the move.
Yeah.
Like it was that kind of crossroads for you, right?
Yeah, man, it was.
Can you tell us like how that, like you were working in business, like at what point did you said, full-time music, I have to. Like, how did that happen?
I can tell you, at the beginning of last year, I took a new job where I was getting to work from home, which was great because I live not far off of Music Row.
Yeah.
And, you know, this company was good, man. We had an office based in Atlanta, but they were based out of, the headquarters was in London, UK. Mm-hmm. So we had some overseas big hits, you know, that would come over, and we got a new VP of sales, and he's from France. And so we all went to Atlanta and had a meeting, and I'd been kind of toying. I just started meeting with publishers. I got a plug for a couple of my really good friends, like JP Durant at Red Light Management, Ali Rodriguez with Iconic Entertainment, and Jenny Deloach. All of them have been very helpful. And they had shot out some of my stuff to publishers to help me start meeting with people, because I was still trying to figure out, is this real? Like, do I want to do this? What is this? You know? And so I started doing that, and had met with a lot of people and hadn't really made that plunge yet of saying, I'm 100% in on this, you know. And so my new boss, he basically started telling us that he wanted us coming to Atlanta almost like once a week, you know, for a period of time. And I had a conference in Charlotte that next week, and I was just like, I'd made up my mind right when I heard that, like, man, that's, to me, that's God opening a door for me.
Right.
To kind of step out in faith, you know, because that's just not, I was going to be miserable, man. I don't want to be in Atlanta,
right?
You know, two times a year, much less once a week.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just personally. And so I went ahead as soon as I got back from Charlotte. I sent him a Skype invitation to have a conversation and put in a notice. And it was pretty much blind faith because at that point I didn't have an offer.
Wow.
And then the cool part about that is where I ended up with at Cornman Music with Warner Chappell and Brett James kind of mans up Cornman. And Brett offered me my first pub deal the day before my last day of work, you know. So I'd already put in my notice. And it was just kind of a cool testament to like favor and
take the
things
first,
working
right?
out and, you know, everything happening for a reason. So,
man, that's
very,
great.
Very fortunate.
Man, good for you. I think in a lot of ways you've done, I think, what so many people would love to do, right? But it's scary.
Oh yeah.
Like not everybody can do that, right?
Yeah.
I think if what I did hear from that, like if I were to listen to this, and maybe it's not music, but anything else, you know, it's almost like you said, you know, when the pain got great enough,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
you did something.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like it was a drastic decision. You worked 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, totally.
Right. So it's not like you came, had nothing,
yep.
had been doing nothing. Totally. So, you know, I don't want to like give the wrong message like, hey, I just showed up, had nothing, did nothing, then quit.
Well, I just realized, man, you know, to really achieve what you want to accomplish, like you got to sacrifice on the front right. end, and that's what it is. You kind of take it on the chin up front because you are leaving something that's very, very secure, very, you know, it's pretty easy to make decent money, and you're really stepping out into the unknown, and you're going to rely on your talent and just really hard work.
Yeah.
It's really what it boils down to.
Well, that's a great story. So let's talk about since then. I mean, because that wasn't but what?
Yeah, it wasn't long ago, man. I signed with Corn Man back sometime in February of this year. And so the biggest thing is it's kind of like a bunch of first dates, you know? You start writing with everybody, and publisher Nate Lowry there at Corn Man, he's been awesome. He's the VP of creative there at Corn Man, and he's kind of responsible for booking calendars and getting me in the room with different people, and you know, he's been awesome at getting me in the room with some big timers, and it's up to me to earn my stripes, you know. Me in there, but then it's on me. It's on me.
And so, you've written with some really big artists.
Yeah, man. Gotten to write with some great guys, and it's been a blast, you know, just getting to do it. But you kind of find your core, you find your guys that you know you're always going to get some good stuff with.
So do you have like an opening question or statement? Because you said it's like dating. So here's my, you know, if I'm going to break the ice here, you know, we're going to write a song together, which most people don't know, unless you are a writer, that it's probably harder than dating. Cause at least with dating, you start out with, so where are you from? You know, kind of the blanket stuff, but no, you're actually going to meet somebody for the first time and get pretty vulnerable when it comes to writing music.
Sure. And everybody in a room has different personalities and different strengths and different weaknesses. And you kind of tow it and you figure out like, okay, this guy, he's great at this. And, you know, this is what drives him crazy, you know. So just trying to figure out the different personalities you're with and try to get the best song out of it that you can. And also it's kind of knowing your place too.
Sure.
You know, it's knowing what you're good at, maybe what you're not so good at, and leaning on them in some of those areas. But man, it's just fun. I just feel lucky and, you know, blessed to be able to do it every day now.
Well, I would say that, not that I don't believe in luck, maybe you are, but I think it's well deserved.
Thanks, man.
I think you earned it, in multiple ways, right? Like most people would say, you need to move here, sell out on the front end. You know, that wasn't exactly your path, but it wasn't like you weren't still going in that direction. And I think it happened when it was supposed to happen. So
I agree with that, man.
It's not because it just fell in your lap. Let's put it that way.
At the time, you know, it's easy to get frustrated.
Yeah.
When you're going through that and you're not really, you know, you're kind of at work or doing whatever every day, and you're kind of like, man, what is my purpose? Like, this ain't my purpose. I'm called to something bigger than this, you know?
That's right. Yeah.
And so that can be frustrating. And, you know, the thing for me, I think it all, like in hindsight, everything, the whole path, everything makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, and it afforded me the opportunity to not be desperate.
Yeah.
You know, like able to save up some money and not walk in just empty handed and cling to the first, you know, sign of hope from a publisher and sign a bad deal. You know what I mean? Like it afforded me the opportunity to meet with a lot of people and kind of vet things and just, you know, make sure that I took the time and made the right decision for me.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Gosh, Corn Man's awesome. Brett, all those guys are awesome. Yeah, I am professionally pursuing all of them to get them on the show.
Oh yeah.
So I'm sure dating y'all too. Okay. I get rejected a lot. All right.
That's right.
But, I don't know if there's like a Tinder app for this. We need to figure something out. The hook scheduling. I don't know. Anyway,
I'm on it.
Well, that's awesome, man. It's such a great story. And I think you have so much, not just like musical talents, but you have like a lot of words of wisdom to give to other people that are just pursuing a goal and a dream, right? Like I think people think that this has to just be about the song you're about to sing, which I can't wait. Or if you're pursuing music, but really this is like so much more. Like I hear, so much that I apply in my life, and I'm not pursuing music.
Yeah.
But I learned from you guys, because y'all do deal with rejection every day.
Oh, yeah.
And perseverance.
Pass.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's like, all right, so if they're dealing with this, but they continue to go, then sure. When things come up in my life, I can go, oh, okay, well, you know, I learn. So yep. That's awesome. And yeah, and man. Then I get the added bonus perk of like hearing phenomenal music. So it's very cool. Nice, well, I try to keep these pretty, you know, to the point. Next time, if I do can get you back in, I do have like these three totally. Questions that I ask everybody.
Sure.
And I think you would be great at these questions, because they really are just piece of his advice. So I can get you back in, right? It took me a while sure. to get you in the
yeah,
first
yeah.
time.
Oh, all
right,
yeah.
Cool. So we'll just leave you at that. I have it on recording. I always make sure that I have it on recording that you will come back.
All right.
It's a binding contract.
Yeah. Appreciate it. You got that, DJ?
All right. Binding contract.
Kevin's got that. He's my non-legal counsel.
I would be the worst legal counsel ever.
That's awesome. All right, awesome. Cool. Well, hey, man, this is what I'm excited for. You're going to play us something, right? Yeah. And then maybe just tell us what the song is, how you wrote it, when you wrote it,
yeah,
or
man.
Who.
And the song I think I'm going to play today, and I was telling Donald, I don't play a lot out. I've just, man, I write one or two a day, so if I mess up a chord or something, forgive me. But the song today...
I just
today,
don't feel like you have to apologize. People will see what I'm talking about in just a minute.
The song today is called Outlive, and for me, it's you know, it's one of my favorite songs and more meaningful songs. And the yeah. concept around it is, you know, it sounds weird to say it, but like the kind of love you want to find in life is like, man, I hope I outlive you because I don't want you walking through losing me, that kind of thing. Ooh. And part of that was inspired by kind of watching my grandfather walk through losing my grandmother back when I was in eighth grade, mm-hmm. you know, and here he is 15, 16 years later, still kicking it, you know?
Yeah.
But to see him walk through that, you know, the stalwart of our family, and it kind of, that sentiment inspired this concept. And, I had the idea and I kind of started it and I took it to, I had a write with one of my buddies, Josh Gabbard, and, we just kind of made it better, you know, and he helped me kind of infuse a little more gospel into it, you know, cause that's, I like soul. So
yeah,
it's got a little soul on it, but it's just one of those heartfelt songs, really.
That's a great story.
Thanks, man.
Will you play it for us?
Yeah. Let's try it.
Awesome.
All right. My sunshine, my Cinderella, the apple of my eye, oh. My skyline, my headline, and that's the bottom line. It's a beautiful day, every day I get to hold ya. And baby, I pray we don't let time get away, slip away. And when it's over, I hope I outlive you, cause I don't want you spending every night when the moon shines, I'll be right there by your side, and you won't spend one night lonely. I hope every day when the morning comes, I'll be there when you wake up, and you won't live one day lonely, no. And darling, nothing is better than when we're together. If you leave me, I'll see you when I get to heaven, cause I hope I outlive you, cause you spending one day alone. I hope I outlive you, cause I don't want you spending one day alone. Ooh, 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 ooh. And darling, nothing is better than see you when I get to heaven, cause I hope I outlive you, cause I don't want you spending one day alone, no. I hope I outlive you, cause
spending one day alone.
What just happened? Are you kidding me right now?
Oh, man. Thanks, dude.
Josh.
I like want to pause everything for like two minutes.
I mean, seriously, like we just need to just everything. That was unfreaking believable.
Thanks,
dude.
Man. I appreciate it.
Kevin, seriously, give me your...
Like, what I'm trying to figure out is how many powerful words I put in that Insta story right now. Like, soulful.
There's
like,
not enough hashtags
like,
on that one.
There's not.
Uh-uh.
And it's one of those, like, I don't know, like, when words can express something, what do you say? But that's so cliche.
It is.
And I think I just wrote a rhyme. And it's too, like, I don't know if my heart was ready for that Monday morning
right?
kind of feeling.
Oh, my God.
Like,
man, that's just so good. I mean, I feel
coffee,
like,
man.
Cheers, dude. Cheers. I'm going to be honest. We, like, there's not a whole lot we can go from there. Except I do have a question.
What's that?
Because for you listeners, I don't know if y'all haven't heard this. I can't remember if we talked about it earlier. I mean, your passion is writing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to be an artist, right?
Yeah, man.
You love to sing.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I've learned to never say never.
Okay.
I've learned that because sure. I've said that plenty of times and turned around and did what I said I wasn't going to do. But for me, man, I know, you know a lot of artists. You've been out with them. You've seen that life. And some of it's cool, but some of it's not.
Sure.
And for me, what I value kind of, I think, just long term and in the future, just that life on the road, man. It's, you know, I realize if you got to be 110% in.
Yeah.
You say you're going to be an artist, you know, then you become a CEO of a company. You've got bandmates. You've got an agent. You've got a manager. You've got all these people depending on you. And so it's really easy if you're not 110% in and you're not sure that that's what you want. Like you want to play arenas.
Yeah.
And you want to be on the road 150, 200 days out of a year. Like, I respect those guys. We need them. Obviously,
sure.
I need them.
Right.
And, you know, we look at a guy like our mutual friend, Kel Dodds, and his dream, you know, he knows the arena. He knows where his mom and dad are sitting.
That's right.
You know, and that's beautiful. Like, that's cool. I don't know if that's my dream.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would rather, I think for me internally, just I would be just as happy standing side stage at Kale's show.
Absolutely.
And he's singing at the arena. He's singing the number one song we wrote.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
which
know,
is a
I'm
very cool feeling.
That.
I remember the first time I did that with Dan Couch.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I'm going to be honest, I mean, I had no ownership whatsoever of any of that success.
Sure.
But his first number one hit after knowing his story.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it was almost as if me watching him hear the like stadium crowd sing every word.
Yep.
Like
that's
a
really cool
moment.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And as much as it was cool to hear it and witness it, it was almost to watch Dan's face.
Heck yeah.
Like I was like, oh my gosh. Like that's when I fell in love with these stories. I'm like, this is what I got to do.
Yeah.
People, because most people don't know Dan's story.
Exactly.
They don't know he's been here 15 years, lost 2 publishing deals. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's a tough business. But no, that's cool. And, you know, I think the other thing too is, you know, you're an artist, man. You go out, everybody knows you.
That's right.
You know, you can't go have dinner without people bugging you.
It's a lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
And it's
me,
a great
I'd
lifestyle. It has its perks.
Low.
That's right. It does have its perks. I do.
Totally.
You know, a lot of people just because, you know, they know that I know a lot of you guys, if they're moving here and they want my advice.
Sure.
Even if somebody's not in music. But
yeah.
I just make sure I go, look, you know, I know you have talent and you want this dream. Just know that it's a lifestyle. It's not just your passion on the stage. If every artist, they do live for that 20 minutes to 2 hours on stage. That's where they live.
Oh, totally.
But what is that? At the end of the day, maybe 10% of it?
Yeah. And you're on the road.
Yeah. The other 80-90%. Yeah. So I think that's just a realization that sometimes people don't know. And that's not a negative. That's just reality. And it's good that you know that.
Totally.
My other question before I let you leave, just because, God, I could talk to you and listen to you sing all day long. But when I was listening to you sing that song, it was a phenomenal song.
Thanks, man.
But you're a writer and I'm wondering sometimes like when artists are hearing a song that you wrote and then hearing how you just sang it.
Yeah.
Like that's hard, right? Or
sure.
do you, I mean, you're writing for your vocal range.
Sometimes,
or
but
you,
I'll tell you, one of the things I've kind of learned, you know, in this process is one, especially in you know, being in Nashville and a lot of times writing country songs and country, country artists, that kind of thing.
Right.
I've learned, if I'm laying the vocal, I'm not always like, if there's another guy that has a very good country vanilla voice in the room, a lot of times, depending on what kind of song we're writing, I'm kind of like, man, please sing, you sing it, you know?
Gotcha.
Because there is an art to that pitch.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's nobody better at that than Brett James.
Right.
He's a chameleon, you know, he can, you want to sound like Kenny Chesney? Here you go. You want to sound like Dirks? Here you go. And that's
Carrie Underwood? Yeah. Here you go. I'm like, how did you just do that?
And so you do. You have to, you do. I mean, I've learned in some of the songs to be able to put on a certain twang or like tone it down a little bit, maybe not run as much, not go so high.
I gotcha.
And so it is. It is a learning experience for sure. Because when your natural instinct as somebody that likes to sing, you just want to wail on everything.
I know.
And that's not always good because it might sound good, but if I'm an artist and I hear that, I might be thinking, man, I'm going to strain my voice singing like that live.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I'll tell you, just for the rest of the listeners here, I mean, you're a professional writer, and I think that's good to hear that, like, you as a writer are and can write for different, not just genres, but like different styles of, of vocals. Yeah. I mean, I've seen you out obviously with, you know, like Sam Hunt and that crowd. Right. Mm-hmm. And then you've been out with, you know, Florida Georgia Line and that group, and you're writing, but just no audience that, like, as the professional writer, like, that's what you do, that's your job, you know,
man.
And that's awesome. So thanks for
I'm just excited, like, for you know, you've seen music evolving around here and just how open it is, you know, from kind of our generation of you know, it's pop, it's country, it's
right,
it's rock, it's R&B, it's EDM. It's just,
I don't know, the big deal.
And shake it up.
At the end of the day, I think we just should get rid of genres.
Yeah,
if you like the song, you like the song.
Exactly.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm making people mad there or not. I just think at the end of the day, why not? I mean, if you dig it, you dig it. That's the way I see it.
Some of it's working. So.
I love it. Josh, man, thanks so much for coming in, dude.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Just real quick, just the shameless plug of yourself. If you wanted to follow and find you, how do people do that?
Yeah, I'm not crazy active on social media, but if you want to get on Twitter or Instagram, I'm at Josh O. Miller.
Josh O. Miller
is probably a pretty common name, so I had to throw in the middle initial there. Josh O. Miller.
Hey, I'm Donald S. Jenkins if you want to follow me, and nobody knows what the S is, technically. Oh, a few people
Steven?
Do. Nope. Oh, you'd never guess.
We've tried a couple podcasts now, and no one can figure it out.
No.
He says it's biblical, but
Sawyer.
We...
No, it's almost biblical. Saul. That's the thing. It's...
Well, that's just... That's like saying anything's almost biblical. Like, it's a tree, because
well,
it's paper.
I'm sorry. That's the only hint I'm giving y'all. So, appreciate it so much, Josh.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Thank you, guys. It's blessed.
Hey, guys. Thanks for tuning in. If you didn't enjoy that episode, you might want to check to see if you have a pulse. But would love for you guys to, you know, subscribe and follow and, you know, connect, engage. If you have questions or things that you want me to bring up, like, shoot me an email, hitscollectingdust@gmail.com. But, hey man, let's get out of here. And, gosh, I don't want this to end, but I will. Thanks, bud.
Thanks, man.
See ya.
This has been Hits Collecting Dust. Please support this podcast and the artists featured by going to iTunes, subscribing, and leaving us a review.